Good morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to The Hard Worker with Pete, the Job Guy Langlois. If you're looking for a job or looking for any kind of candidates, this is the show you need to hear. So tune in now, of course, and every Sunday morning at 8 to answer any questions you might have about jobs, because this is your show. This expert show is your guide to everything jobs. This is a place where you can hear about new job opportunities and get free extensive career advice from local business leaders themselves. The staffing industry's leading authority, Pete, the Job Guy Langlois, explores the failures and successes behind Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And he does it while discussing hot workplace issues with an honest and oh-so-entertaining filter. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers. I hope you got up, you shook off the cobwebs, you had your coffee, you put the dogs out, and I'm going to congratulate you for making a great decision this morning. You're joining me, Pete the Job Guy, on Hard Worker. And today, we're going to do what we always do. We talk about all things jobs, and we're going to give you tips, and we're going to walk through different career options and opportunities that are available for you. And as a result of this show, if you do something differently at the end of listening to this, you're going to be the better for it, okay? So you already made a good decision. Let me tell you about something called a fleeting mentor. People, what is that? What's a fleeting mentor? Well, these are passers-by in your life that do or say something that change your life for the good. They're going to tell you something, impart some knowledge and some wisdom, and they just kind of came through your life and said something or did something that sets you on a whole different path. When I was in the Navy years back, and I worked on the flight deck of the USS Saratoga, and I was out there with a bunch of other enlisted guys, and we're making sure the aircraft are operationally sound, and we're helping launch them, and then when they land, we secure them down with chains and all this, and I'm working out there, and I'm slugging away, working probably 55, 60 hours a week on the ship. And the flight deck chief, he was a senior chief, came walking up to me out of nowhere. Senior Chief Chapman walks up to me and he says, "Hey, what are you going to do?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "What's your plan?" And I said, I don't know what you mean. He goes, "Listen, are you going to make a career out of this in the Navy, or what's your plan?" And I could tell he was serious and sincere. And I said, "Well, you know, I don't know. I might." I think I was 19 years old at the time. And I said, "You know, maybe I will, maybe I won't. I don't know." He goes, "Well, if you're even at all considering, here's what you need to do." And he told me, he said, "This is, you go to Florida Junior College, you start working on your associate's level courses, and then when you get enough under your belt, on campus, in the Navy, right on the naval base, is a Southern Illinois University campus. Among other colleges, they had a campus right on the base." And he told me what courses to take and how to get my degree. And I could tell he was sincere. And he said, "Listen, I'm wrapping up my program right now." He said, "I'm getting my degree inside of 4 years. He goes, "It's hard work, Pete. I'm not going to lie to you. It's hard work. But this is what you do." And I said, "All right." And then, you know, it was probably a month before the ship got to shore. And what did I do? I went and registered at Florida Junior College. And I started taking courses. I got enough under my belt. And I walked over to SIU, Southern Illinois University campus, and I registered with them. And I remember about 3.5 years later, I was pretty far along in my college, and I was, you know, into my junior year, and I was doing really well. I got good grades. I really applied myself, and, you know, all the time working full time. But I did this, and then about 3.5 years later, I had finished up that enlistment at NAS Cecil Field, and now I was transferred over to VP 30 at NAS Jax, and a guy walking down the side of the street, when I'm driving, I look over and I knew it was Senior Chief Chapman just from the way he was walking from behind. I saw that was him, and I pull up and I went to say, "Hey, Senior Chief, you need a ride?" But I looked and it's Lieutenant Chapman. He had gone through, finished the program, went to officer candidate school, and now he's a guy I have to salute and call Mr. Chapman, okay, as an enlisted guy. I said, "You need a ride?" He said, "Sure. Hey, how you doing, Pete?" I said, "Good, good." He gets in the car, and I said, "You know, I got to tell you, you told me how to, you know, what I should do, that course of action, how I can get my degree in an accelerated manner in a way that fit in with a Navy guy's career, and I did it. I said, I'm probably graduating here within the next 6 months." And he was so happy and proud. I dropped him off, and I never heard from him or saw him again. I tried to reach out with them, and I'm kind of a super sleuth on the internet. I think I can find people, but some people just don't want to be found for one reason or another, and he's one of them. But I got to tell you, that was a fleeting mentor, somebody who imparted some wisdom on me with absolutely no expectation of reciprocation or any gratitude for himself. And I think that's part of it. If you're ever going to be a fleeting mentor, you know, just think about what you're an expert at. And think about if you're going to impart this knowledge upon somebody else, a fleeting mentor is just someone that says, hey, you might want to consider this or try this. But don't do it expecting something in return. Make it a selfless act, and you can change the course of somebody's life. Thank you, Senior Chief Chapman. Rick Chapman, if you're out there and you hear this, call me. I want to thank you personally. Oh, guys, we got a really, really good show for us, for you today. And today, we're going to be talking with some we're going to talk all about big data. And I think you need to know what it is, and you're going to hear from some of Jacksonville's top data analysts and folks that deal with data modeling, all the concepts. And but before we do that, I have to introduce you to the folks and get a good understanding of what the heck it is, because obviously I can't even explain it. All right, now is a great time to introduce our guest today. We have two great guests that are very smart and know a whole bunch of stuff. And one of them is Katie Bakewell, and she's the lead statistician with NLP Logics. Katie, how are you today?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And we also have Dr. Carly Jacobson, and she's a senior data analyst with NLP Logics. And great to have you on, Carly, as well.
Thanks so much for having us, Pete.
Okay, good. Glad you're here. Now, guys, there's so much information out there nowadays. I mean, it's different than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. There's all this information. And I know it running a business for many years that if you pour over this information, all this data that's out there, and you analyze it, and you break it down, and you look for certain subsets of information, certain data sets, you can do anything now from helping people solve crimes to preventing diseases to, you know, giving me as a business owner material that I need to help steer me in a direction to recognize important business trends. You know, is this what big data is all about?
For sure.
Yeah, okay. Tell me a little bit about, you know, Katie, we'll start with you. What do you do?
So I'm a statistician. So I do everything from machine learning and statistical modeling to building visualizations, working with a client, and helping them understand their data and what they can do with their data.
Okay. So basically, after you listen to Katie speak, you understand that English is a second language to her. Okay? I don't even know what language that was. That's incredible. Now, as a statistician, I'm sure you went to school, you have advanced degrees. Tell me a little bit about your background.
So I have an undergrad in math and in statistics, and a master's in math from UNF, Swoop.
Swoop!
And I've been with NLP Logics for 5 years.
Okay, great. Carly, tell me a little bit about what you do.
So I am the senior data analyst at NLP Logics, and I work, as Katie was saying, with all of our clients and just teasing apart the data, finding the pieces of it that are going to give them actionable insights into what they do. And my background is in mathematics. So mm-hmm. I was at the University of Florida. My bachelor's is actually Go Gators. My bachelor's degree was in engineering, and then I decided I did not want to do that. And so I went back to my first love of mathematics. I got a PhD in mathematics there. And then I did a postdoctoral fellowship at Ohio State University, doing some of the things that you mentioned, using mathematics to actually model infectious diseases.
Oh, wow. Can you give me an example of how you know, what kind of data, how do you extract the data, how do you break it down into usable information that's going to help, you know, with the curing infectious diseases or preventing them?
So what we were doing in my research at Ohio State was building mathematical models that would predict how a disease would spread on a social contact network. So it was actually right after the big Ebola outbreak in West Africa.
Wow. Yep.
And so Ebola spreads through contact with people that are taking care of their loved ones that are sick or the healthcare workers. And so we built a model that helped them understand, you know, how the how the structure of the community and the healthcare system would interact to influence the spread of Ebola, and therefore how you might apply a vaccination strategy in order to curb the disease.
Great. So how do you get the information? I mean, I'm sure there's surveys, there's studies. Do you extract it via some form of technology? I know this is basic, but I'm a basic guy. Listen, I'm going to tell you, back when I went to school, we didn't have computers, number one, and the computer courses that I learned were COBOL and Fortran and strings of zeros and ones, and you guys probably don't even know what any of that is, but that's what I did. I'm a dinosaur. So tell me, what kind of technology are you using to examine the data and put together these reports or information?
So some of the data that we get at NLP Logix comes over in Excel spreadsheets. Some of it comes in databases. We use SQL Server, Oracle. And then once we have the data in our database, we use lots of different tools to analyze it, different languages like Python and R, and data visualization tools like one called Tableau is one that we commonly use.
Got it. Can you give me an example, Katie, of some kind of a project that you've worked on?
So one of the things that we do is work with the city of Jacksonville. So we're working with the Kids Hope Alliance, which is the newly formed group that manages the nonprofits for funding through the city of Jacksonville for kid-oriented programs. So we work with them to help them understand where they can be funding, where there's gaps in coverage, and understanding, you know, everything about a location. So not just looking at crime, not just looking at income, but taking a holistic view of the city and identifying those areas that really need the most help.
Wow, you know, both of the examples you've given, those are two feel-good things. I mean, these are worthwhile causes that you're happy to be a participant about, and you're making a difference. So that's pretty exciting. Is that what? And we'll go back and forth. You know, why did you get into this business? And let me ask you, even when you were a kid, were you good in math? I mean, did that help steer the ship?
I was pretty good in math as a kid. It was always my favorite subject. I think for me, I just really enjoy the problem solving, you know, taking something that's maybe complex and breaking it down into different pieces and trying to understand it. At NLP Logix, I was in the academic world for quite a while doing research, but I chose to come to NLP Logix because I wanted to work more closely with clients and see an immediate impact in my work, right? So when you're in the university setting, you might have a project that takes 2 years and then gets published in a journal and you don't know whoever uses it. But
right.
At NLP Logix, it's awesome because we have a lot of different clients and different industries that we work with, and we get to see so immediately what the impact of our work is in making their businesses better.
Outstanding. And you, Katie?
So I really enjoyed math as a kid, and then when I went to university, I was studying math and physics, and I had to take a statistics class, and I told my statistics professor that I was doing math and physics, and she said, "Oh, I didn't realize you wanted to be broke." So she said, "You kind of like this, you're good at the statistics thing." So I actually switched to math and statistics. And I met one of my current colleagues there, Ben Webster, and he was actually the first employee at NLP Logix. And a couple months after he started, they brought me on, and you know, I really enjoyed working with the data analysis, so just kept doing it.
You know, we had a couple of callers, this goes back about 4 weeks or so, that called in that they were going through an NLP Logix boot camp. Do you participate in that boot camp?
Yeah, definitely. Katie and I were two of the mentors. So we had three different teams of students. So high school students from Duval County that were rising seniors. And we gave them basically a 5-week boot camp, an introduction to data science, had them solve a real problem using an interesting data set. And Katie and I, you know, mentored the teams and helped teach them the different tools that we use. And it was a great, yeah.
Oh, that's great. And the two that we spoke with, I remember they were just super sharp. And you could hear the enthusiasm. They were jumping right through the phone explaining, oh, we're right into it. It's great. And we're learning. It was good to hear it. You must feel good, Katie, being a part of that, huh?
It's really awesome. And it's incredible to see how much the kids actually know about computer science. You know, these are things that I sort of first encountered in college. And these are kids that are rising seniors in high school that, you know, you explain something to them one time and they've really got it. It's great to see.
That's fantastic. You know, I know it, for many years I've run a technology consulting company. I place technology professionals on a temporary temp to hire on a contract basis. Mm-hmm. So clients will call me and say, hey, I need a Hadoop person or right. I need someone with this skill set. And we find it and place it. And a lot of times it's guys. Okay. All right. Now, listen, I'm not being sexist or anything, but it's fantastic to see that this. What inspired you to get into this line of work?
I don't think there's anything that ever sort of drove me away from this line of work.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I was good at math. Yep. I had great teachers and, you know, good role models. And I never thought that it's something that I couldn't do. So.
That. You know, mm-hmm. Sarah Silverman has this quote that she said recently, and it goes something like, why do we ever tell girls that they can as if they couldn't in the first place? So I really like that. You know, you're just good at it, and you just kept your head up, and you kept going. And so it's one of those things that, like, women in tech, sure, like, I'm sure that is a buzzword now, but even just big data is a buzzword. And so can you guys kind of demystify like the difference between big data and little data? I'm like, what's the difference? Big data, what?
So I think there's lots of different buzzwords that are thrown around these days, right? Yeah. Big data, machine learning, artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, big data, it kind of can have some misconceptions to it in terms of how much data do you need in order to build a model or to give your clients useful information. And so big data, you might think about terabytes or petabytes, all this data that you might collect at, you know, a Facebook or a Google or something. But you don't need to have even that much data in order to pull the insights from it if you know how to do it and how to engineer your model in the appropriate way.
Yeah, awesome.
Right. All right. Now, have any of you, and I know the answer to this, won any awards recently? come on, fess up.
Yeah, so I was just named one of the women in the Jacksonville Business Journal's Women of Influence for
Woo-hoo!
2018.
Yeah, Katie. We're very proud of Katie.
Thanks so much.
Good job, Katie.
Now, one thing that we're big proponents on is we want to give back to our community. We you know, and I know you guys do too, I believe. Are there any, is there anything that that you're a member of or something that you're promoting too outside of NLP?
Well, we host a monthly meetup group called Big Data Jacks, where mm-hmm. we bring in members from the community and we have presentations to help sort of increase the awareness of different big data and modeling topics in the city and to provide, you know, networking opportunities. We also go to conferences. There was a Women and Minorities in Technology conference recently that we took part of as well.
Outstanding. If someone wants more information about that group, how do they mm-hmm. get it?
It's meetup.com/JacksBigData.
All right. meetup.com/JacksBigData. And Aaron will put that up on the Pete the Job Guy website. What would you tell, and I'm going to ask you both this. I've been hitting you up first, Carly. I'm going to go to Katie first. What would you tell yourself in around the 19, 20 years old? What would you tell yourself now that would help you in your career maybe avoid a pitfall or accelerate things or maybe make life a little bit easier for you?
So I actually went to college straight out of high school, and I was working as a cook while I was there, and I loved cooking, and I dropped out of the University of Florida to spend a couple years cooking. And I might tell 19 or 20-year-old Katie not to do that.
Very good.
I ended up back on the same path that I was originally on, so that was a pretty big detour.
Well, you know what's neat? There's nothing like hindsight, because you can always look back and say, oh, I shouldn't have done this, or I'd do more of this or less of this. But the greatest thing is by you sharing that story. If someone right now is contemplating going down a different path, maybe do it later, but finish the degree.
Right.
Go ahead.
It was a lot more fiscally responsible to do math for work and cooking for fun instead of the other way.
Very good. And Carly, what would you tell your 19, maybe 20-year-old self?
I would say to follow your passions. When I was an undergraduate, as I said, I was pursuing a degree in engineering because at the time I thought, well, what can somebody do with mathematics?
Right,
I knew that I loved it, but I thought I can't get a real job. You know, I didn't think I wanted to teach, and that was the only thing I thought was a career path in mathematics. Little did I know that there's all this amazing fun stuff that you can do. So that set me back a little bit in that I had to switch over to mathematics after my undergraduate degree. So just follow your passions. Trust your gut on what you enjoy doing.
Very good. And without getting into too much detail, what are you working on right now? What are some of the things that you're excited about that you're working on?
So I'm working on one project with a home health medical coding company. And mm-hmm. so a lot of what we do at NLP Logix is automation. And so we are sort of analyzing their workflows that their coders do and helping figure out how we can implement different algorithms and automation in order to their processes and to make it faster and better for them.
Okay, very good.
So I am doing a lot of work right now in debt collection, so improving the outcomes for debt collection companies, and then also working with your neighbor, Healogix.
Oh, yes. Great
company, and they are so data-driven and helping them with wound care and how HBO actually affects that. So it's really interesting to go through that work.
Well, it's just exciting that what you're doing, okay, here it is, math and statistics that relates to anything and everything in business. Isn't it incredible that, I mean, I can't see a company that wouldn't benefit from analyzing data in order to streamline, create efficiencies, improve performance, remove redundancies, I think would be a huge part of what you do as well, right?
For sure. It's surprising how much, you know, debt collection and dancing for fitness have in common when you look at them from a data perspective.
Holy cow. Bro, I love this. Love this. What else? What else do we have?
I got something. Okay. I got a question.
It over.
I'm running in my pants right now. Okay. True or false? Statisticians are meant to be slightly deviant. You're not going to get this if you don't know any stats. This is more for my enjoyment. You guys are really statistically significant, especially in my life, and I just wanted to let you know that a lot of girls and a lot of boys are looking up to you and like what you're doing, and you guys just stay above the normal. Nobody's gonna get it unless you know stats.
We get it. We love it.
These are all your statistician puns that everybody is like, what? What are you talking about?
Play that back one more time.
you know what was funny too? I'll tell you is we always do like a promo videos and stuff, and we did a little promo video that we'll be posting. We posted. You'll see it, and it says normal and paranormal. Did you see that on the graph?
Yeah, okay, that's great.
Yeah, woo! Well, guys, Katie and Carly, I'm very, very glad that you came out here and talk with us this morning. If people want more information about NLP Logix, how can they get that?
You can find us on Twitter or LinkedIn. You can go to nlplogix.com.
Yep. Or swing by the Big Data Jacks meetup group. And there's always a bunch of us from NLP Logix there, too.
Are there going to be more jokes?
We'll work on it.
I was talking to Carly and Katie before the show, and I was like, you guys, I have so many puns. And they were like, did you actually know that there's a website for this? And so I wanted to tell everybody about this because as soon as I Googled it, I couldn't stop laughing. And it's like, it's called Research Wahlberg.
Research Wahlberg.
Yeah, and they put pun jokes on top of really serious Mark Wahlberg pictures. So beautiful. So beautiful. I love that guy.
Well, guys, thank you so much for coming out. I really appreciate you spending your Sunday morning with us. Have a great rest of your Sunday, and have a great rest of the week, too.
Thank you so much.
And now we're at a time where we're going to take our quick bottom of the hour break and get a news and traffic weather update, and we'll be right back. Back, all you hard workers. Oh, man. Listen, guys, if you need any staffing assistance, if you're looking for a job or you want some career advice, you can always reach out to me, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. That's my email address. And, you know, if you want to ask me an employment question, you want some information about salary, compensation, benefits, all that stuff, you can call me. 904-713-2550, or just email me, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. If you want staffing assistance and you're an employer in town, same thing, whether you need one person on a direct hire basis or you need 100 temps for a defined or undefined period of time, you just reach out to me, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com, or 904-713-2550. We have, I'm going to tell you what, one thing I've been fortunate about in life is that I've done a good job of surrounding myself with people that are better, faster, and smarter than me. That, if there's one thing I'm good at, is I've done that. And I have a team of recruiters behind me all over the United States. We have a big office in Jacksonville. Each year, we're named by the Jacksonville Business Journal as one of the largest employment staffing firms in town. But on a national basis, we have, I think it's around 60 offices nationwide. We have a ton of employees, and we're just we're well equipped to handle your staffing needs. And again, if you just have one need and it's a short supply, high demand skill set, and you've posted ads and you've struck out and you just can't seem to fill the position, call me. I can promise you there are candidates out there. No matter what the skill set is, we can find it. And somebody tells me, "Oh, Pete, I just can't find the candidates." Listen. There hasn't been a candidate genocide, okay? There are good quality candidates out there. They're working. What you have to do as an employer is understand your key differentiators. What's different about your organization? What's good about working at your place that could entice somebody from another job to come to your job? And if it's not, it's not always the compensation. It's your work environment, your corporate culture. It could be your benefits or a career track. Even just the proximity to the person's home. Maybe they have a commute. Do you have casual Friday? Do you participate in the community? But you have to clearly identify what would attract somebody to come and work at your place and be able to articulate that like it's an elevator pitch in 20 seconds or less. Okay? All right. Man, I loved having Katie and Carly here. What great information. We learned that mathematics isn't something you have to run from. And even though teaching is a wonderful profession and a great career, there are other things to do with mathematics than teach or to work in an insurance company. I forget, what's that? Actuarial services. That's what the math folks do. But now with data, driving businesses, curing diseases, solving crime, this the data and the analytics allow you to go into math boldly and assured that at the end of this math mountain, when I have a big math and statistical degree, I can have career opportunities that did not exist 5 and 10 years ago. They didn't. And it's fantastic to hear. And what Carly and Katie told us is fantastic. And I love the fact that they have groups, networking groups that are out there to help people that might be considering that that line of work. And they can help prepare them and get them ready. So it was exciting to hear. Guys, I got to tell you, my mom has been a little bit down in the dumps. She hasn't been feeling so well. And I think it's time that we just dial her up. We have her numbers all punched up here. We're going to give my mom a call, and let's see how she's doing.
Hello.
Hey, Danny, it's Peter. How you doing?
Hey, good, Pete. Your mother handed me the phone. She didn't know what that number was, I guess. It didn't show up your name. So, because somebody's been calling her once in a while and say something about, I don't know, some weird advertisement or something. So she wanted me to answer it.
It's all
how
those,
are you doing, Pete?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. It's all those crazy salespeople trying to call you all the time. That's it.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's a warranty or something they were asking much for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're doing good. Your mom's doing good now.
Good.
You know, she went to a little episode with, I don't know what it was, but penicillin. But she'll tell you about it. But she's feeling a lot better right now, Pete.
Okay.
You know? So, but we're listening to your show sometimes when we get your copies. It's funny as all hell. It's got something going there, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. You know what's funny is you're actually on the show right now. I'm taping you.
Oh. You're kidding.
Nah, I'm playing you.
Oh, my God.
And I wanted to welcome you to the Hard Worker Show, Danny, with Pete the Job Guy.
I'll be done. Yeah, we listen to all your tapes, you know.
Good.
What the heck, you know?
Good. I got fans all over the United States now. I got them in Maine. I got them in South Carolina, in Jacksonville, Florida, all over the place. But I wanted to welcome you to the show and say, Danny, you're a hard worker, aren't you?
Well, I was. I'm on semi-retirement right now.
Yeah. Oh. Well, is Ma there, too? I want to say hi to her.
Yeah, she is. She's all right here.
Thank you, Danny.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello?
How are you, Ma?
Okay, all right.
You feeling all right?
Nothing can get me down and out. I had a call into Boston because sometimes when you're on this Rituxan therapy, different things happen.
Oh.
And I don't know whether it was my kidneys or what was going on, but he put me on penicillin.
Oh, Ma.
For 7 days, but now I'm okay.
You're okay now. Well, you know I love you, right?
I do know you love me.
Are you proud of me, Ma? Are you proud of me?
Yes, I'm very proud of you.
Am I a hard worker, Ma?
Very hard. Extremely hard.
That's right, Ma. That's doggone right. Well, I you're on the radio, so just telling you, I hope you're having a good Sunday morning. And I love you, and I'm glad to hear that you're doing better.
Oh, thanks so much. Thank you very much, dear.
Okay.
Yes.
Bye, Mom.
Bye bye. I love you too. Bye bye.
Oh, it's so good to hear that my mother's doing better. You know, you hear my accent kind of change, and you hear me say, "Hi, Danny, it's Peter." You know, when I moved to Florida many years ago, my name was Peter, right? And it was funny because I always pronounced it Peter, like the bread. Not Peter. Hi, Peter. How are you, Peter?
Hard R. Like,
my name's not Peter. My name's Peter, like the bread. So that's how Pete came about, is I didn't want to be called Peter because it's my name. You know what I'm saying, Aaron? If someone called you Irene.
I've had plenty of people call me Aaron.
Because
it's A-R-R-E-N, or they say Aren. I'm like, okay, yeah. I still respond because I understand. Or if they try to spell my name correctly, I just completely ignore it. I'm like, yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
And they're like, what?
Well, for me, it was, you know, when it's your name, you want your name pronounced right. That's why I said, you know what? Just call me Pete. So that's Pete. And then when I talk to my family, the Boston really comes out. I mean, I can't help it, you know.
Yeah.
And I just you hear it, and it's a lot stronger. But it's good to hear that my mom is doing a lot better, and I know Danny's taking care of her, and it makes me feel good to know that she's doing better and improving. And I'm glad we gave her a call and heard. And you hear that she's proud of me. That's genuine, right there.
I think that was
set
up. You told her that. No.
That's a mom that loves her boy. All right, I think, you know what? Now is a great time to go to the world-famous Aaron Mills and Jack's Facts.
This is Jack's Facts. Did you know that Jacksonville is the birthplace of the father of the personal computer? That's right, Don Estridge. Don Estridge was born in Jacksonville, Florida. His father was a professional photographer. He graduated from Bishop Kenny High School in 1955 and from the University of Florida in 1959. Don led development on the original IBM personal computer, PC, and thus is known as the father of the IBM PC, which is super fitting in Jacksonville because right now one of the hot job industries is information technology. And that's it for your Jack's Facts this week.
Very good, Aaron. Thank you for that fun fact. All right, going deep into the mailbag. And in the mailbag, I don't actually have a mailbag. What we have is email. And if you have a question, anything to do that's work-related, you can always just hit me up at pete@petethejobguy.com. This one comes to us, and I'm not going to tell any names or anything, but this says, my boss friend requested me on Facebook. What do I do? Okay, that happens. You know, and, you know, Aaron and I are going to talk about this a little bit because I want to get her perspective. Uh-huh. Aaron, your boss friend requests you. What do you do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so the general rule is when you're in the professional world is not to post anything risque or anything that you would want your boss to see. So I say it would be okay.
Is that the type of stuff you post?
No, no, no. I'm a mother of one, Pete.
Okay.
So I would say I would accept them, but you know, if somebody else from the office requested to, I would say like if you're gonna accept from one person, you have to accept from all. So you know, just standardize it. If you're not gonna accept from anybody, you know, explain to them in person maybe why you're not accepting their friend requests. Or,
you know, I can weigh in here, and I think you're onto something
yeah.
here, because what you do for one as a leader, you have to do for all, because mm-hmm. you can't mm-hmm. discriminate of who you know,
exactly.
I'm going to friend request this when I'm not. You have to be very, very careful. And I go back and I taught a class for .NET Code Camp years back. The course was, you're a developer, now what? Meaning, okay, you're a .NET developer, but, you know, do you want to get into management? Do you mm-hmm. want to do something differently? Do you want to become an architect? What are the things you want to do as a .NET developer? And I told a story, and when I got up in front of the group, I had on a whiteboard behind me, I wrote BOFB. And I get up and I talk about all the different career paths you can take if you're just starting out as a developer or a coder. And BOFB was written on the board. And as I went down all this, answered questions, did a wonderful presentation, good group, very interested, and it was pretty packed. And at the end, I says, anybody want to know what BOFB stands for? And they're looking around. Yeah, we want to know. All right. And I told them a story about I had a .NET developer that I was making a placement with. Real sharp guy, young person. He was up and coming, but you know he was very, very technically savvy, and he had a really nice portfolio of stuff that he showed that he could do. Great in the interview process. Everything was fine. But he did not control his social media. Mm-hmm. And you know, and the manager made an offer and called me back and then rescinded it and said, we're not going to hire this person. I said, what are you talking about? He quit his other job. He's, you know, he's really excited. I said, no, BOFB. You know, we Googled him up and he had a bong on Facebook.
And
that cost him his job. He was not aware of his social mm-hmm. media. Mm-hmm. For that purpose, now listen, you know, not everybody's going to be that loose or that foolish.
Mm-hmm.
But for that reason, people judge you, and they make decisions based on what you're posting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even though some folks are a little bit more conservative, others might be a little looser, showing parties and beer what could be harmless fun, other people might make judgments about you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like, as a boss, having folks Facebook me. Mm-hmm. And as a rule, I don't have anybody
yep.
that works with me on Facebook with me, just mm-hmm. because, you know, I don't want anybody to have that kind of window into my life mm-hmm. personally, number one. Number two, I don't want them thinking I'm looking at their photos and looking into their life. But for the reason you just said, mm-hmm. I'm not going to let everybody, so I can't discriminate and do for one or two
exactly.
what I'm not going to do for all.
Exactly.
So I think that was very well said. Aaron,
yeah.
Last week we talked about you're trying to shrink down your wardrobe to 25 pieces of clothing. Give us a little bit of an update at where you're at and maybe just kind of a refresher on why you're doing this and what this
sure.
is all about.
Yeah, so I recently converted to just 25 pieces of clothing, and I got a lot of questions, even from Pete, because I'm challenging Pete to do it with me. And he's like, what about my athletic clothes? And I can just envision Pete putting back on a sweaty shirt.
Oh, no, that's not going to happen. Hey, now, listen, for some people, you can get down to 25. I don't have a lot of clothes. I have
yeah.
a few pairs of khakis that I wear, a couple of pullover shirts, and, you know, some dress clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But other than my gym clothes, because I like to run a lot
yeah.
and, you know, try to keep in shape, I have to have a certain amount of T-shirts and shorts. And if I'm trying to skinny this down to 25,
mm-hmm.
that could get a little bit complicated.
Yeah. And so I So when I was coming up with a wardrobe, I asked a whole bunch of people in the capsule wardrobe or the minimalistic community, and they said usually they don't count things like undergarments, so tank tops or underwear. Can I say underwear
yes,
on the radio?
Yes, you can say doggone underwear. Underwear. Woo!
And they also...
Underwear! Woo! All right, go ahead. Underwear. Go ahead.
So, and also athletic clothing. So a lot of people don't count their athletic clothing. So then I thought, you know, that makes sense. I'll go ahead and not count it, but I'm not going to have like more than 25 pieces of athletic clothing. I'm going to keep it to like a week's worth of that stuff. So I have 25 pieces of work and clothes that I'm wearing outside of the house, and then the rest I'm not really counting. So we're in Florida, you know, bathing suits, flip-flops, I feel like shouldn't be counted towards that.
All right. Well, let's do this. Let's get into the why, because other than the fact that you want to punish yourself, why would you do this?
No, it's not. So there are so many reasons, and I actually just posted a blog post. I had 16 reasons for you guys. So if you're bored and you want to read that, go ahead and do it. But one of the main reasons is, so I used to fight a lot of human trafficking in the Philippines, and that was with another group, a nonprofit group, and one of the things that we focused on was forced labor. It's part of human trafficking, and so a lot of the clothes that we consume are made in sweatshops abroad, and so, or they are not ethically made in the sense that, you know, they're consuming resources that we just don't take care of.
So from a consumption standpoint, this is why. Okay, you're a consumer, and you want to align yourself, or you don't want to go ahead and take too much or get too... Oh, look, wait. Look who just joined us. It's the world famous, the original hard worker, Alex Stuckey.
What's going on?
Glad to have you, Alex. Glad you made it. You know, was traffic bad this morning on a Sunday?
Oh, of course it was. You know, it's all backed up. I had to make early church.
Well, you know what we're talking about right now is, you remember last week, Aaron was telling us that she's trying really hard to do this, this 25 pieces of clothing for her wardrobe.
I do remember. In fact, I went home and talked all about that, and
really?
I got no reception on that one.
Well, I can promise you, Angie skinnied it down, but she didn't break it down to 25.
Yeah, I feel like it's open. You know, you can always convert it to however many clothing pieces you think is realistically going to work for your lifestyle. I picked 25. It's an arbitrary number, but it's because I turned 25. So
all right.
I think the formulaic number is 37.
Formulaic? Any comments on formulaic? Are we going to accept that as a word?
Wait, bring Carly and Katie back. I'm pretty sure it's a word.
Carly and Katie, they left already, but I'll tell you what. Call us up and let us know. Is formulative?
I'm going to go with Scrabble says no.
You can't make up words like that on the fly.
Yeah,
but not
on radio, because we got that recorded.
Magic number.
Formulaic.
I like the way that sounds. Wait, I'm going to Google it. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, you go ahead and Google it.
Alex, I don't know if you were listening when we had Katie and Carly on, but one of the big takeaways for me is that mathematics, now if you go, let's say you're good in math, right? And you want to pursue, you know, you want to go get a math degree and on. The only two career paths that you had back in the day, now I'm going back a little bit, there are other things that you can apply it to, because, Doug, everything is mathematics, right? You can apply it to everything. But from a career standpoint, it was actuarial sciences, right? You're getting into into insurance, or you're a teacher, really. And
Or astronaut, space.
Yeah,
NASA was a big hiring, and one of the biggest reasons why mathematics and the STEMs became such a big, you know, big push in our country, right? Because we needed to figure out how to get to the moon and go in and you know, during the Kennedy administration, that was a huge big push, and everybody was working hard on mathematics and coming up with. Trying to figure out math that didn't exist yet to send people into space. So that was a big push.
It's exciting, but you know, we're drawing the conclusion that before math had, you know, several different lines, and we just added the NASA career path to it, but there wasn't a ton, like you know, if you get into back then either data processing, but if you get into IT, there's so many different jobs in IT, and there's so many different jobs, but mathematics seemed to be a little bit career limiting, your choices. But now with big data,
yeah,
and hearing how excited they're, you know, these are two math whizzes that come in here with pure joy and excitement are saying, wow, this is great. So, you know, it's nice to hear. And if I'm someone who's good in math, I'm in seventh and eighth grade, or maybe I'm a senior, or I'm taking math as a minor mm-hmm. in college, just knowing that there are big careers in analytics mm-hmm. and statisticians and working with big data to do what? Cure diseases, solve crime, you know, help
marketing.
Improve performance, marketing, yeah. sales. And when you hear their clients and the exciting projects they're working on, mm-hmm. it transcends all business, all industry. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's, you know, I wish Preston was here, because that's where he's headed to, is into data analytics and to, you know, study being an actuary and things along those lines. Obviously, he started out in looking to be in the accounting field, and he'll still do that as well. But I think he's now leaning towards getting his minor in that, so he could really talk about that.
You know, even in accounting and finance, mm-hmm. you know, there's this little thing called business intelligence now that, again, is extracting all this data, right? Mm-hmm. And it's putting together usable reports that help steer the ship from an accounting standpoint or from a business operations standpoint. It's the data. Everything is so data-driven. And it's not so much, let me take a dart and go to the dartboard and, you know, or try to read some tea leaves on what I should invest in mm-hmm. business. It's the analytics mm-hmm. and the algorithms and the, you know, even what I loved hearing about is eliminating redundancy in business. Mm-hmm. You know, you might have four different people saying and doing the same things over and over and over, and the analytics prove that we can create efficiencies by eliminating the redundancy.
You know, it's like the sales book we read, though. You know, it all starts with human interaction, right? If we didn't figure it out as people first, then no matter how great a computer programmer you are, it doesn't matter, because it's the old garbage in, garbage out, right? So you can create the best model in the mm-hmm. whole world, but that model has to be based upon something in real life. And if the real life doesn't work, then, you know, putting it on a fancy computer isn't going to make it work either.
So one day, I'm not going to be replaced by robot husband, robot dad, and robot worker?
Maybe you will. But
that's me. I'm redundant anyway. Just by nature, that's how I am. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the human element, we say a lot with staffing and recruiting. You know, I'm going to tell you what, it's kind of like real estate, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with real estate. There's a MLS, and people list the houses, and you can look all through it, and they use the little bots.
3D cameras.
Yeah, cameras
all
that go all through, show everything. But guess what? It's the interaction with the agent. Yeah. We had mm-hmm. Kim Sessions mm-hmm. on here that was fantastic. Right. It's the agent that helps close the deal and steer
Have you seen Idiocracy?
No.
You seen Idiocracy? It's a great movie. It's really funny and entertaining, but it shows you what happens when you become too reliant on computers and something else doing the work, right? Because mm-hmm. what happens is the whole country becomes computerized, and the machines are doing all the work and everything, but then all of a sudden the people forget how to, and later on they go in and now they can't fix the machines.
Mm.
So as soon as they break, nobody knows how it all got started, so it just becomes a disaster from there on out. So they have all these machines going around that can't do the work, and they can't do it either because they forgot how.
Interesting. All right, guys, listen, we're right at that time where we got to wrap up. I want to thank my guests, Carly and Katie with NLP Logix. They were fantastic today talking about mathematics and statistics. It's a great career path for all of you people. Stay in school and stay right on that path. I hope all you hard workers have a fantastic Sunday and a big week.